Good evening.
Please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 16. 1 Kings chapter 16. The title of this evening's message is Obeying God When Things Just Don't Seem to Add Up. Obeying God When Things Just Don't Seem to Add Up. 1 Kings chapter 16. We'll begin reading a few verses in we'll look in verse 25 and 26, and then we'll hop to verse 29. So 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 25, and it says, But Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord, and did worse than all that were before him. For he walked in all the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and in the sins wherewith he made Israel sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. This is the father of the character that we're going to read about this evening. We're going to be looking into Ahab and Elijah's life right now. This is Ahab's father. He topped the cake when it came to being a bad king in Israel. There's two different countries Israel has divided. There is the northern kingdom and there's the southern kingdom. He is the king right here of the northern kingdom. There was not a good king in the northern kingdom. And we see here that he has perverted the ways worse than all the kings that were before him as the kings of Israel. We come now to verse 29, and we read about his son. It says, And in the 30th and 8th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omar, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omar, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omar, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he took the wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. We see here the desperate times in which Israel found themselves. King Ahab is following in his father's footsteps, and he's adding to the atrocities of the sins that his father has committed. Ahab is going to be given credit for bringing the whole nation into idolatry and serving the god Baal. He does this by marrying, first he marries Jezebel. This helps make this open. But they weren't just serving just Baal. If you were to go to the commoner in Israel, you would see them serving Baal, but they were also serving Jehovah too. They were trying to mix the Baal worship and then worshiping Jehovah and mix it together. If you were to ask an Israelite underneath Ahab's reign, they said, yes, I believe in the one true God, sure, but I believe in Baal too. They wanted to have both. It's like wanting to have your hands in the dirt and muck and mire of the world and then be a clean Christian as well, and that just doesn't happen. And this is what the Israelites wanted, and King Ahab has helped that. And the first thing he's done is he's married Jezebel, and this has brought the whole nation into going against what the Lord had to say. Look in verse 31. It says, And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took a wife, Jezebel. The Bible here, see the difference between the spot where we're talking about his father. His father was worse than all the ones that had come before him. He had put the icing on the cake. And here we see here that Ahab, it says, and to think it was a light thing. It's almost when we go and make light of something, it's making it not sound as good as what it was. Maybe there's a principle, and we seem to be mocking it or making fun of it to make light of. And this is what the Bible is considering making light of of following in the footsteps of Jeroboam, meaning that Ahab took it a whole new step further in the wrong direction. And we see here that because they're serving Baal now, he's built a house to Baal in Samaria, a temple to worship Baal. And we see here that Israel now is not remembering the God that has brought them up out of Egypt. They're not remembering the commandments that God had given them. If in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 21, there was a commandment that was given for the children of Israel if they were to do wrong. Deuteronomy 16:21, it says, Thou shalt not plant thee a grove of any trees near unto the altar of the Lord, which thou shalt make unto thee. I got the wrong verse there. But basically what was being said there is that if the Israelites forsook the Lord their God, then part of the punishment would be a drought could be brought upon the land. That was one of the things, and it's found in Deuteronomy, it's found in Numbers, it's found in Leviticus, and where that would be the case for God to bring his children unto himself. Another thing, if we hop down to verse 34, we can see how far the people have come to remembering about the days of Joshua. They think it's a fable, some of the stories that they've heard. Look in verse 34. It says, And in his day, Hethiel the Bethelite built Jericho, and he laid the foundation thereof, and Abram his firstborn set up the gates thereof, and his youngest, Serubim, according to the word of the Lord, which was spake by Joshua the son of Nun. After the Lord allowed Joshua to defeat Jericho, Joshua said, for the man who rebuilds Jericho, who builds a foundation, their firstborn son is going to be taken. If they're going to complete the gates, finish the building of the city, and put the gates up, their youngest son will also be taken or will be killed. And this guy thought that it was a fable. Oh, that was back. That's Joshua. This is how far they had come from God's word as a nation. They thought what Joshua had said back there, they thought that was just a bunch of fables. But it came to pass. He lost his oldest son and he lost his youngest son because what the Bible had said was true. And this is how far the nation of Israel has gone strayed from the Lord. Now we pick up and Elijah comes on the scene. He comes in and it's in a dark time, very similar to the times in which we live today. It's a dark time. Many things are going awry. But we see here that Elijah, even though things didn't seem to make sense, we see here that he still obeyed what God told him to do. God is tells Elijah, I want you to go before King Ahab, and I want you to tell him a message that I have for you. Now, I think if I were Elijah, that I would be kind of scared. Knowing what his wife has done, she's had all the prophets that she can round up of the Lord killed. So she's not a very nice woman to be. And when Elijah is a prophet of the Lord, it's a scary thing to go before a king whose wife wants your head because you're serving the Lord still. And it's a scary thing, but Elijah is willing to do what God has told him to do. Look in chapter 17 and verse 1. It says, And Elisha the Tishbite, who was in the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Elijah here prays, and he asks the Lord not to send a rain for a certain period of time. Ahab hears this, and he kind of chuckles and smirks. You believe in the one true God? And he has allowed his wife to influence him in his thinking and manner of what he is doing. And so he doesn't really take, he thinks that it's quite funny that Elijah says that there's going to be a drought. He's getting a kick out of it. He thinks it's a farce. But we see here soon that that's going to change. Elijah leaves after this. And then in verse 2, it says, And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Okay? So Elijah has just done what the Lord said. He obeyed when it was hard. It didn't make sense to go to King Ahab and tell him that there wasn't going to be a drought. Elijah had to believe that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. He's living in a time that people can't even remember the rules and regulations that were put over Israel. They can't remember the laws that or victories that Joshua had and the law that he had put about not to rebuild Jericho and the cost that the builder would have in rebuilding Jericho. And we see here that things didn't make sense, but Elijah still did what God wanted him to do. So often today, we find ourselves in different circumstances, and oh, what am I to do? Things aren't adding up. This is a rough situation. You find yourself in between a rock and a hard place, and you don't know what to do. Do what God wants you to do. Go to God's word and search for it, and you can find treasures that can help you through whatever comes your way. So often today when hardships come our way, we try to solve problems all on our own. And as we try to solve problems all on our own, we begin to put our hands into it, and we make it worse than what it was at the beginning as we try to solve it ourselves. So often we don't go directly to the Lord when problem comes our way. We try to fix it ourselves. And then as a last resort, we'll go to God. What if Elijah had done this? He would not have had the courage to go and talk to King Ahab in the first place. He would not have had the courage to deliver the message that God gave him to give to King Ahab. This is a pretty hefty message. There's not going to be rain until I pray again that there will be rain. This is an indefinite amount of time. Elijah's got to be thinking here, how long, Lord, are you going to have me till I pray and ask for rain again? This could be hundreds of years. He doesn't know how long this could be. But Elijah had faith in God. Even though things didn't seem to be adding up, he was willing to do exactly what God told him to do. Now God tells Elijah to go to the brook Cherith. And so Elijah says, okay, I'll go to the brook Cherith. And then he says, Elijah, I'm going to have ravens feed you. Now think about this in all logistic things. Your birds are going to come and drop food. If you're thinking in an actual thing, if you go outside and you watch birds, the only food that they drop is if they're up in the bird feeder and they're chipping at it and they don't like it and they throw it off to the side. That's about the only food that birds drop. But we see here that Elijah believed God. It didn't seem to maybe make sense at the time, but Elijah took God at his word and he believed it. So often when we find ourselves in trials, we don't take God at his word and hold fast to the truth that God has given us. That will change the way that we have the outlook and the trials that God brings our way. Life is not a bed of roses. It's not smooth. It's very hilly. Sometimes there's troubles that you just don't think will ever get solved. You don't see a way out of that tunnel. But with God's help, you can do it. And God puts each of those events in your life for a reason. So often, when something bad happens, people say, why, God, why? When that question should be, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? Lord, what did I miss maybe last time that I didn't get that you wanted to teach me through this? And if we approach life's problems as they come in this aspect, it will be totally different. You'll be able to see God's hand at work. You'll say, Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation. Will you please help me? I remember back at the steel shop, there was one of the guys that I worked with. He was a big guy. His name was Larry. Larry hated to do work. Larry was able to operate the lull that we had. And so whenever Larry wasn't able to weld, he was just learning how to weld. And whenever he couldn't weld, he hopped in the lull, and he would go act like he was moving a bunch of work so that he could get out of work. And this was the character that he was. He was just a lazy guy. And as we would come around the break time, he would just get all in my face that I was a Christian. He would get all upset at me, and he had no cares during the workday. All he wanted to do was get through his 8 hours and punch the time clock. But when it came to break time or when it came to lunchtime, he wanted to get up into my face because he knew that I knew that Jesus Christ was my personal Savior. And because he knew this and the lifestyle in which he lived didn't add up to the way that I believed, he got into my face. And sometimes I'd go home and I'd be so frustrated. I don't seem like I was able to make an impact on him today. Lord, what happened? And I had to step back, and the Lord said, Ben, it's not what you do, it's living through me, it's going to your word. And the Lord said, and the Lord gave me some scripture to help me understand that he wanted me just to be a consistent Christian testimony. It wasn't until a year later, I was working, he got fired further on down the road, and I was talking to one of the other guys, and what they said caught me by surprise. They said, Ben, did you know that Larry looked up to you? Did you know that Larry respected the stance that you took? And I took a step back. What? Larry respected me? He was in my face all the time when it came to break time, when it came to lunch time. He respected me and for the stand which I took. So often, when we see that rough, tenacious part of someone coming at you, we don't always see the other side. And under that tough outside perimeter that Larry put on, he really did want to know more, but he never came to ask anything else. But I had done what God told me to do. He said, be a faithful Christian testimony. And that's exactly what Larry needed. And it made a difference. I didn't see it. I would not have even known about it if I had not heard it years later from some of the guys that I had worked with there. So often, we don't know what God is doing through our lives. We only see the current situation, and it seems to be frustrating. Lord, I can't see how this is going to come out to your good. But if you believe God, take him at his word and do what he says, the Lord will come out. When we get to heaven, I think many of us are going to be shocked to see that some of the things that we did actually made a difference, to see some of the responses that different people had, to see how the Lord worked through you doing something and you didn't seem to be able to get anything going. And we see here that Elijah, it doesn't make sense to go to a brook and to be fed by some birds. That doesn't make sense. But Elijah did exactly what God told him to do. So often we get hung up on the details or on the situation that's in front of us rather than looking to the Lord and looking for him to give direction. And Elijah here, he goes to the brook. Look in verse 5. It says, "So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan." So we see here that Elijah hears what God has told him to do. It doesn't really make sense, but he does it because God told him to do it. God honors you when you obey him. God brings blessings into your life when you do what he says. He has just pronounced that there's going to be a drought over Israel. He's roughly on a timeline. He's at the brook Cherith for about half a year is on a guesstimate. So he's there quite a while. Look in verse 6. It says, "And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." God provided the needs that Elijah had. Elijah needed to stay away from Ahab because Ahab now wants to kill him. Not only that, but he needs the physical food to live and to eat. And in a time of drought, it's hard to find these things. But God provided for Elijah. Elijah did exactly what God told him to do, and God provided for him. Now, do you think Elijah figured that God was going to provide for him by bringing birds to give him food to eat? No. That doesn't make sense in our finite minds. But God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Sometimes it just doesn't seem to make sense. But that doesn't matter. We need to look to God's word. If you're having struggling through some issue that you find yourself in today, look to God's word, see what God says about the situation, and then do exactly what God's word tells you to do. And God will honor that. God honors Elijah. But look in verse 7. There's a hiccup in the plan. It says, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." Oh, God made a mistake. Oh, God, you don't know what you're doing. I did what you told me. I even came to the brook Cherith and you provided for me. Now it's dried up. God, you don't know what you're doing. That's so easy to have that mentality when things don't seem to be going your way. But I did this and this and this. Maybe God's working on helping build your trust or your faith in him. And we see here that Elijah doesn't get all panicky. Elijah waits and listens for God's next step for him to go in his life. So often we want to get panicky. Oh, I don't know what to do. There's a big decision coming up, and I'm not sure what to do. Do we depend on God to help us through that situation? We see here that Elijah, he does not get all panicky, but he follows what the Lord tells him to do, and he finds himself in another situation where he's there scratching his head. Lord, do you know what you're talking about? Look in verse 8. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Okay? So God tells him to go to Zidon. Anybody remember hearing a word similar to Zidon in our reading earlier? Hop back up to chapter 16. Look in verse 31. It says, "And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took a wife, Jezebel, of the daughter of Ephabel, king of the Zidonians." This is the heart of where the Baal worship is. This is Jezebel's hometown right in this area, right? This is where Baal worship is being highly promoted. This is even outside of Israel. They're not even serving Jehovah in parts and bits and pieces like the Israelites were. This is pure worshiping Baal. God, you want me to go there? It doesn't make sense. And not only does it not make sense where God's placing him, but look at who God's going to provide for him through. Look at the end of, in chapter 17 again, look in the end of verse 9. And I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Okay? Times are not like today. Women couldn't go out and grab a job in these times. If you were a woman, you didn't get to go out into the workforce. That was what the men did. The women stayed home. In the Bible, it's addressed in the New Testament. You see that the church, Timothy and Paul takes great lengths, and Titus and Timothy, to tell the people on how to take care of the widows. He said to take care of the widows that are widows indeed. Widows, they didn't have a man to be bringing in the food and things. If you look at Naomi and Ruth, as they come back from Moab, they're both widows. And they have to go into the field, and after the reapers, pick up the little that's left after the reapers have gone through. It's not an easy plight for a widow to live in these times. But God says that a widow is going to provide for you, Elijah. Scratching his head, Lord, this doesn't seem to make sense. I don't get it. So often we get hung up on, it doesn't make sense. Lord, I don't think you know what you're doing. And maybe all the Lord wants us to do is believe what He has told us to do and go ahead and do it. Don't be afraid. I've told you this for a reason. I'm going to show myself strong. And in a place of ungodliness, in a place where this widow woman, she also has a son to take care of, God is going to take care of Elijah. Look in verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came down to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called her, and he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. What do we see that Elijah does in verse 10? He obeys God. Even though it may not have made sense to him totally everything that he was supposed to do, he obeyed God. So often we get caught on the new, little things that just don't seem to make sense, when all we really need to be worried about is obeying exactly what God has told us to do. Somebody said, I mess up because I don't know everything in the Bible that I'm supposed to obey. No, that's not the thing. The things that we do know, we don't take heed to obey. If we took heed to obey the things that we knew, that would dramatically change our Christian lives. And we see here that Elijah is willing to be faithful to God, take God at His word, and believe exactly what He says He's going to do. God says that He's going to provide for Elijah in a heathen country by a widow who's not going to be able to bring in lots of money to provide for her and for Elijah and for her son. But Elijah does what God tells him to do. He goes, and now look at this widow woman. Look at her response. He asks her for a bit of water at the end of verse 10, and look in verse 11. And it says, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Okay? So we see here that God has sent Elijah to a heathen land. He sent Elijah to a widow woman. This widow woman, it doesn't even have enough to have maybe a few meals. She's getting two sticks together to make a fire. Now think about that. Two sticks to make a fire? Yes, you need a little kindling to start a fire, but you need a whole lot more than just two sticks to keep a fire going. That's not a lot. When it talks about how much meal and oil she has, she doesn't have a lot. Do you see Elijah here doubting? Lord, I came and did what you said, but she doesn't even have enough for her son and herself to eat. They're going to eat the little that they have, and then they're just going to, they're going to crawl up and die. But Elijah had faith. Elijah asked the widow woman, please bring me something to eat. Elijah sees the hesitancy of the widow woman. And so he goes, and as he sees the hesitancy of the widow woman, he says in verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Look at it in verse 14, at the very beginning. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Did Elijah say, because I told you so, do it? He finds himself in a tough situation. He has done exactly what God has told him to do. He's gone to this heathen land. He's found the widow woman that the Lord has said is going to provide for him. This widow woman is doubting. She has hardly anything. And he goes and he says, thus saith the Lord. Elijah did not doubt God. If anybody had an opportunity and a reason why they should be doubting God, it was Elijah. He had the perfect opportunity, but he didn't. He believed God and he took God at his word, and he's willing to come, and God has made this open to him. And so he shares with the woman, the Lord God has said, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now think about that. If you're the widow woman, there's you and your son. This stranger, who's definitely a prophet by the way that he's dressed, you know that he's a foreigner. He's saying that the Lord his God is going to provide for you and his son until the rain stops. Think about that. He doesn't know what he's talking about. This is her life and her son's life that they're talking about here. This isn't a small issue. If you that are parents, you don't want to see your child die of starvation. That's the last thing that you would want to happen. And these are issues that this widow woman is facing. These are some strong issues. These are some hard times. But she listens to Elijah, and she listens to exactly what the Lord has said. Think of the faith that it took to take what Elijah said at his word. Look in verse 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Did God fail the widow woman or her son or Elijah? No. God provided for them. But on each account, the widow woman and Elijah, they had to believe God and take him at his word in faith. What if the woman hadn't done that? The Lord would not have provided for her throughout the rest of that drought period. She would have missed out on God's blessings. Taking God at his word and obeying, even when it doesn't make sense. Elijah has done it. Now this widow woman has done it. Look in verse 17. More trouble confronts Elijah. It says, and it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. That means that he died. In verse 18, and she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. Elijah has done exactly what the Lord has commanded him. The widow woman has gave that first little piece of bread to Elijah. The Lord has now honored that, and he's providing food for all three of them. And now her son gets sick. He gets so sick that he dies. But look at the response of the woman as her son has died. In verse 18, it says, O thou man of God, art thou come to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? So often, when troubles come our way, we step back and we look. And we have a just view of the things that we have done. We look at things through correct eyes. We're not looking at life through rose-petaled glasses. But we look at life at the way it is. And she definitely had something in her past, and she's wondering if it's the sins from her past that have caused her son to die. She stepped back. She's just lost her son. She's done what God had told her to do. Things don't seem to be adding up. And so she begins to look into her life and look at it through a fine-combed tooth. And her conclusion is, well, maybe it's because of one of my sins that the Lord took my son. That was not the case. But sometimes the Lord brings things into our lives They're going to be hard. They're going to hurt. It's not going to be easy. Maybe the death of a loved one. Maybe some other set of circumstances that come into our life, and it's hard to deal with. You don't know how you're going to get up and go the next day with whatever just happened. And this is where this widow woman finds herself. And she doesn't know what to do, and she says, "Elijah, is there anything you can do?" We see here that Elijah takes her son up to his bed, and look in verse 20 of chapter 17. It says, "And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived." We see here that Elijah is faced with another problem. The widow woman that he's staying with, her son gets sick, and now he's died. She's come to him saying, "Elijah, is it a sin from my past that God has judged me for? What have I done to deserve this?" So often people say that, or they say, "Oh, but I'm a good person. Why do bad things happen to good people?" That's a question the world asks all the time. But see, they're asking the wrong questions. Maybe God's using this circumstance to bring them to himself. Maybe God is using this to draw you closer to him. Through conflict and trial, that's where you're tested. We're tested in the fires of life. Are the fires fun to go through? No. But as you come out of the fires, are you coming out having learned something, having nuggets, gold nuggets and little bits and pieces that God has given you through to help you through those times that you've struggled through? We see here that Elijah, he doesn't get all worried. He doesn't get all worked up. Who is the first person that Elijah goes to in this circumstance? He goes to God. And he pours his heart out to God. Look in verse 20. It says, "And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, why hast thou brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let the child's soul come into him again." Elijah here pours out his heart to God. "Lord, this doesn't make sense. Will you please restore this son's life to him?" And look in verse 22. "And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived." God raised this child from the dead. Why? Elijah prayed and God heard him. When you pray, does God hear you? Or as you've been praying lately, does it feel like all your prayers, they go up to the ceiling and then they bounce off and come right back to you? Is that the way that it feels? If that's the case, do you have unconfessed sin in your life? Do you have something that you need to confess to the Lord and get right with the Lord? Are you right with the Lord? The Bible says, if I have iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But we see here that Elijah had a clear account with God. When the time of trouble came, he could go directly to him and pray. And God heard his prayer. Not only did God hear his prayer, but God answered his prayer. And God resurrects this young boy. What if Elijah had got all upset? "Lord, I seem to be doing everything you tell me to do, and it's one problem after another. I get through this one, and then you send me another one, and then you send me another one. Lord, I don't think I can do this anymore." What if Elijah fell apart? This boy would still have been dead, and the widow's heart would have been aching and breaking. But we see here that Elijah brought his problems to God. Do you pour out your soul to God? Do you tell him the things that bother you? Do you tell him the circumstances that come your way? Because if you have kept a short account with God with your sins, he will hear you, and he will answer your prayer. We see here that Elijah was able to see God do great things in his life. He went through some tough times. Number one, he comes on the scene with one of the wickedest kings that was known in Israel. This is the king that was instrumental in getting Baal worship to start. Not only that, he marries Jezebel. And she was very big into Baal worship. And that's what helped made it almost the the national religion there in Israel at that time. The people that were there were mixing the Jehovah, and they were mixing Baal worship together. He lived in a dark time. He had dark circumstances. His first task was to go talk to King Ahab. He did what God told him to do, and God rewarded him. Things didn't seem to make sense, but Elijah did what God told him to do, and God honored him for that. As you'd go through chapter 18, we don't have time to go there tonight, but we're going to see how Elijah comes back in, and there's a guy that's in Ahab's court. And he has helped save 100 prophets of God. He's put them up and he's fed them. This is during a time of drought. And during a time of drought, that means that you're not having food, you don't have water. It was very hard to get away from the king and to be able to provide for that. But he did that, and Elijah runs into him. And he says, can you get me a meeting with the king? And this guy's like, I don't want to send you to your death penalty, your death warranty. But Elijah was doing exactly what God had told him to do, even when things didn't add up and things didn't make sense in his mind. So often things don't make sense in our mind. And sometimes on earth, we will never understand why we go through certain things. It may never make sense on this earth. But God takes each situation that he puts us through for a reason. Are we learning the valuable lessons that God wants us to learn from those circumstances that we have gone through? Are we learning? Are we drawing closer to God in those times of trouble? When we're in trouble, have we kept short accounts of sin with God so that when we cry out to him, he hears us and he's able to work and do great things for us? I challenge you guys tonight, have a short sin account with the Lord. When things don't add up, obey God. Obey God. He will take care of you. God's not going to forsake his own. The Bible says, I have seen the young and old, but I have not seen the righteous forsaken. God will take care of his children. God will take care of you. Do you believe him? Will you take him at his word? Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to look in your word. We're able to see that Elijah obeyed even when it didn't make sense. We're able to see the great blessings that came because he did what you said. Lord, allow us to learn from this and to implement this into our lives. Thank you for this opportunity that we can come and pray. In your name, amen.